to another episode of the podcast. Today we're going to talk about the white savior complex and why it's bad. I have been really interested in the Rene Bach case recently. If you haven't seen that, it's basically a woman who, with a missionary organization, has practiced medicine unlicensed, completely uneducated and everything like that, and has killed several hundreds of children in Uganda. So I just heard about this case in June, but it's been going on since 2009. So she's been practicing medicine illegally for about 10 years, and she claims to have not practiced medicine unlawfully and is denying all claims. So basically now Rene Bach and her nonprofit Serving His Children, a missionary practice, have been named in a civil lawsuit filed in Uganda for operating medical facility but without a license. What I found interesting was that certain exhibits presented within the lawsuit include a screenshot of her website where it says, for example, Serving His Children has grown from the God-given vision of a young woman to a ministry that is saving and changing hundreds of lives every year. She is passionate about the children of Uganda and loves hands-on involvement in their medical care as well as being a part of mentoring their moms. Sis, oh my god. It's on her website. She is the founder of Serving His Children, which this case, this civil lawsuit is revolving around. So basically from like 2009 to 2015, Renee showed interest in involving herself in like medical care with or without medical professionals present, and Serving His Children was not a clinic like in some weird remote village, but it was in Jinja, which is developed. So Jinja has countless hospitals, clinics, probably within like a 10-minute drive from this unlicensed clinic, so it's not like there wasn't any other option. So basically Renee and her organization claimed that she only intervened when it was an emergency situation, and like that's not true. I think it was like 7 eyewitnesses and certain accounts from former employees have explained with their experiences that this is not true. And that basically saying like Renee and her organization should have never had children in a critical condition in their facility to begin with, because her facility was not properly registered. It was registered as helping with like famine, and it was like a rehab center. So they didn't have the licensure to have like an ICU or like a critical operating room, you know what I mean? So they were basically doing everything outside of like their own bounds that what they weren't legally allowed to do. And then people asked like, what was the alternative? Weren't these kids just gonna die anyway if they were that sick and their parents like didn't have money? The problem is, bitch, that like her organization had money to pay for these children to be admitted and treated by a proper health facility, you know what I mean? Like, they didn't have to take them, but like they were busy playing doctor, like, you know. So like Renee would come to these local children's hospitals in Jinja and convince vulnerable mothers to leave with their critically ill children for her unlicensed facility. What the fuck? So we have witnesses, particularly Dr. Harriet, the head of pediatrician at this hospital, talks about like warning her staff several times to not allow Renee or any person from Serving His Children to come and like scout for children who are malnourished. So mothers, after they went to Renee, would return to this hospital that she worked at after their children had died at Renee's center, or after the children's condition had worsened. So like Renee has been playing doctor, playing hospital, playing clinic, playing God, all these things. And I just think like this whole situation has spiraled so much. For years, Rene Bach and Serving His Children have like been told, this is not correct, you need to stop. Despite this, they still did it anyway. Bruh, what else do you need to be told? It's like, what the fuck? Anyway, so basically, Serving His Children allegedly accounted for 105 children deaths between 2009 and 2015, and this was literally not even a registered health facility or a medical facility. And Renee was actively practicing medicine while this was happening. So the reason I said allegedly is because people think that this amount of children is way higher because Renee would print and sign her own death certificates and did not follow proper legal protocol after a child would die. If they had, all of the child deaths would be on record, and they're not. So, like, bitch, what the fuck? It's like, what the fuck? You can't print and sign your own death certificates. Not in Uganda, not anywhere else in the world. So people working there claim that they every week there would be at least like 10 bodies they would have to return to the families. So it's not 105, it's way more. So that's like the situation as we know right now. Fox recently claimed her as innocent and like they took her side in an interview. Renee's denied all interviews that aren't like from Fox. And they asked her like, how can you prove your innocence? And she was like, you know, like, it's really toxic with, like, this white savior trend of, like, cancel culture. And I'm like, what the fuck, bitch? You killed several fucking children. It's like, as if there was something toxic about white savior complex. Like the whole initiative, obviously not the complex. And, like, relating it to cancel culture, I'm like, if you kill several children and you're doing illegal shit, yes, you are canceled. Like, I can understand that there's, like, a toxic thing about cancel culture, but sis, stop. So basically, there's this podcast I listen to called Afropunk, and they're not just a podcast, they're, like, a progressive media platform, which serves, like, all several forms of media. So they have festivals and stuff, too, like, music festivals, articles, all that shit. So they said, and I quote, "All that really needs to be said is, what the actual fuck, white people? Leave Africa alone. I guarantee you, as always, you leave it worse than you found it. I was today years old when I finally figured out what it truly means to say the road to hell is paved with good intentions. For Bach, it'll be a smooth ride there." After reading this, I was like, yes, this is literally my exact opinion. And obviously, if you have seen my Instagram, I am of the white ethnicity. I am Swedish and American, and let's be honest, all Americans are fucking Europeans. Basically, if you're white, you're a European mutt, is what I like to call it. So I usually say I'm half European mutt and I'm half Swedish. So, like, I've just seen so much of this. And you're like, Lena, get to the point. You've just been serving us the facts. Like, what is your opinion? Oh my god. Like, there's so many things wrong with this. And for those who don't know what the white savior complex is, it's obviously this thing of, like, white guilt stemming from the colonial days of, like, looking at a person who doesn't look like you. And you're like, oh, wow, like, you must not be civilized. You are lesser than me because you're not urbanized and you don't look like me. Therefore, here, let me help you. And it becomes this, like, weird thing of, like, trying to Americanize or Westernize other cultures. It's like this weird ethnocentric proposition of like, oh, if you're not white, you're obviously not civilized. Let me civilize you and let me help you. Let me save you. It's like, just because a culture does not look like yours does not mean that it's not correct or doesn't deserve to exist and that it needs to change. Westernization or Americanization is not the only way to be a functioning society, you know? And also, the reason why developing countries exist is because of colonialism. Like, all of these European hoes that had a bunch of land in Africa were like, yo, let's, like, start these projects of infrastructure, but then just, like, dip. Like, let's just leave real quick and not finish it. And just, like, let them figure it out. That's not how life works. So, some of these countries that are left like this were like half corrupt, half embedded political systems, half working infrastructures, and then they just kind of had to do their thing. Like, this is what I mean with, like, when I was relating to the Afropunk quote of, like, what the actual fuck, white people, leave Africa alone. I guarantee you, as always, you leave it worse than you found it, because it's true, bitch. Like, why is there corruption? Why is there dictatorship? Why is the same person ruling for 40 years? Bruh, white people. It is not anyone else's fault. but white people. Like, interference is not the solution. So this is the thing I wanted to talk about also with, like, if we talk about volunteering. Like, Renee Bach, she was like, yeah, I have zero education. I'm not qualified to do anything. I just got straight out of high school and have a degree, sort of. And now I want to, like, help African children, you know? Like, I'm such a good person, and I just care so much about malnutrition, and, like, I want God to see me as a beautiful human being when I get to heaven. I don't know. We'll talk about religion another time, but for me, I am only for volunteering if you have a special skill that will make you an asset to the organization or project. So, like, I have many close friends, best friends even, and also not so close acquaintances that have volunteered. And if they're listening, I truly hope they don't take offense to this, but rather just, like, as a point of reflection, they left for their trip with good intentions. They paid for their trip, but they left for their trip with good intentions. But often with the aim of gaining merit for university and work opportunities, or just, like, as a way of, like, traveling to a developing country, but, like, safe, which is a whole other, like, fucking topic also. Like, or just, like, having something to do while, like, exploring an exotic place. So these people pay thousands of dollars for short-term volunteering for work they more often than not are not qualified for. So, like, building houses, teaching English, teaching sex education, all of that. So, like, out of about 10 people I know who have volunteered, maybe one had the skills and education required and was genuinely prepping for the future field work. Like, I told you I used to study social anthropology, and it's very, like, if you're a social anthropologist, the only thing you do is fucking field work. Like, you're any company, they can say fucking Coca-Cola, you can be hired by Coca-Cola, you can be hired by a marketing agency, by political agencies, like, anything. And they'll send you there to be like, hey, we really want to sell this product here. Can you just, like, go check, like, why it won't work, or, like, what we should do to make it applicable for these people? Or if you're building a bridge, like, and there's some shit going on, like, why don't these people want this bridge? Go check. Or just in general, like, interpreting culture and mediating that. So this girl I knew who went and did, I guess it was, like, a longer-term volunteering trip, too, to Tanzania for, like, sex education for girls. And it was different because she was actually, like, I met her and she had already been to school for, like, to work with, like, psychology and gender studies and stuff like that. So she was, like, somewhat qualified and already volunteered in Sweden for certain groups. So that I didn't really have a problem with, if that makes sense, because she had the assets and stuff like that. So she was, like, prepping for field work. Like, this is what her job is going to be, is being on the field, being present, connecting with people, interpreting culture, you know? But on the other hand, I had another one of these people actually have a discussion with me about their journey. And they said that they regretted it because they weren't qualified. And this was a person who went and built houses or whatever. And she was like, I'm not a contractor, like, and this project went horribly, like, after we left and stuff like that. And then she's kind of been, like, low-key. So my argument is, why are we not hiring local power? Why are we not investing within the country? Like, contractors, teachers, like, entrepreneurs, it's just, like, the advocacy for unqualified young people to go volunteering produces white saviorism. It produces situations like Renee Bach, including using volunteering or NGOs for your own religious endeavors. Like, despite if it's merit or saving people by trying to be the next Messiah in order to go to heaven, like, all of this stems from narcissism and white guilt. For me, it's not genuine interest or compassion. You might have good intentions going, whatever, you know, but at the end of the day, it's to climb a ladder. Whether that's, like, a religious ladder, or if it is a academic ladder, or a workforce ladder, career ladder, it still stems from narcissism. And I know this is probably an unpopular opinion, and there's probably a lot of people who have volunteered, but that's genuinely why I've abstained from volunteering. It's something I have wanted to do, but I don't think I will do it until I can serve properly. Until I have the assets to actually, not like being a contractor, but for example, like community development or being a mediator for the NGO when it comes to like between the government and the NGO, something, you know, diplomatic like that. I think that's rather what I would be involved in if I was involved, and not just something to put on your social media. You know what I mean? Because a large part of it is also like the large picture of like this whole narcissistic thing is like, just like Renee had a blog and wrote about all of her experiences, and like, I'm saving these poor African children and I'm such a great person. And like, this child went to stage 3 AIDS, like I did everything I can, but they died and I'm such an amazing person. And it's just like, no, you're not. And also you're exploiting them on your blog page, like posting pictures of children. You're commodifying black bodies. That's what you're doing, sis. But that's kind of the thing with social media too. Like, if you're gonna go volunteering and you're teaching English to kids, or you're like, I don't know, chilling out, building wells, I don't know what you do. And then there's people posting pictures like, I saved them, but they saved me right back. It's like, fuck you, dude. No, fuck off. Like, you can't just post a picture of your like volunteering experience. You're like, everybody look at me. I'm such an amazing person. I am so great. And everyone should be more like me. You know, everybody give me a clap on the back because I'm white and I save these poor children. And I know it sounds super harsh, and that's why I've been like, this isn't just me, obviously, thinking these things. Like, the whole reason this lawsuit, like this civil lawsuit, even existed was because of a social media NGO called No White Saviors. And in their Instagram page, it's like, we're not here to spare white people's feelings. Like, take responsibility. Like, if it doesn't apply to you, then it doesn't apply to you. But I think as a white person, I have like come to terms with that. Like, I don't take offense to it because I agree. And I've been following their page for like a really long time, and I think it's great. Because obviously, like, I'm not the person, I'm not Renee Bock. It's not like they're shitting on me just because. It's not like I'm like, oh, they took a shit on Renee Bock, they're taking a shit on the whole Caucasian race. That's completely false. I agree with them on literally everything. And I feel very bad that I have to disclaim that. But that's also why, like, I have a lot of notes in front of me right now, so I can kind of like paraphrase what other pages have said, like Afropunk, No White Saviors, at the same time as like, that's my opinion. You know what I mean? So I'm trying to be careful, but I'm trying to be authentic and honest also, just to clear that up. Anyway, this is a large problem I find people don't give enough thought to. You know what I mean? People think of African nations as these like underdeveloped nations that are in need of outside intervention in order to be civilized, you know? And it's like, the aid industry, unfortunately, is not helping with this image. If you've seen like UNICEF commercials, and it just gives this picture of a generalization of Africa that is false. And it's not like these children don't exist. They obviously do. And it's still, the aid industry, unfortunately, is not helpful long term. But then people are like, what about the people that they help? And oh my God, they save so many lives. And I'm not saying it's not necessary. You know what I mean? I'm not saying that they're doing a bad job or whatever the fuck. I mean, Renee Bock was doing a bad job. But rather, like, when people say, what about all the people they help? I'm like, well, who are the people helping? You know? I feel like everyone, but also like white passing people also. Like, it can be people of color who are white passing. White people need to stop victimizing, fetishizing, and villainizing black bodies. It is much more sustainable to invest money you were planning on spending on a 3-week volunteer, like, vacay into an organization you actually believe in, so they can afford to hire local power or someone who is actually qualified. And I've seen several interviews with these, specifically about Renee Bock, and like experts from Ugandan universities talking. And there was this woman who was like, I don't understand. These organizations do more harm than good. How come a white person who has no qualifications is valued more than a Ugandan native who has a university education and has gone to school for medical practice? And that's what I'm stating. Like, it's nothing deep. It's just like, I find it really wrong to commodify off of black bodies. I think it's really horrible. Because I think everyone should, I think, obviously, I'm a feminist. But like, I just believe across the board, like, if you are qualified and are a person of color, and then a white person is not at all qualified and just moved to Uganda at 18, it was like, I'm going to be a fucking doctor. And it's like, if you wanted to be a doctor so bad, you could have gone to school. Just like all the other people who fucking work at the hospital. But since they're white, they're like, I can come and I can do whatever I want and like operate and like prescribe. Because this was the thing, Renee Bock was prescribing medicine. She was diagnosing children. She wrote off children's death certificates. It's not like she was just like, hee-hee, like, I'm great. And she did nothing. It wasn't like an accident. She did this for several years, for like 10 years. And unfortunately, that's the case, like with the aid industry and especially missionary practices, because just people who are like, God sent me here and that's my purpose in life. I'm serving him. Yeah, sorry, I'm not religious. Maybe I should have stated that. I'm not trying to make fun of that, but like, you can't not have a degree in medical practice and then, or like the medical care field, and then be like, I'm 12 and I'm gonna be a doctor because God told me, and then kill a bunch of people and be like, they were already starving. It's not my fault. So stop, you know? So here are some little fun things I found from No White Saviors, and they made a list and they said, that 10-day mission or service trip you are taking this summer to Uganda, Honduras, Nepal, Cambodia, or Haiti is trash. And we are going to give you 8 reasons why. Here are the 8 reasons. 1, you aren't qualified. You have no relevant or useful training, experience, or specialization. 2, it is a poor use of money. That $2,000 that you and each member of your team is spending, invested in projects you think are helping instead. 3, it's about you. This experience is not actually about the needs of the people you are visiting in that country. 4, you're using poor people to make you feel better about your privilege and wealth rather than actually investing in efforts to help people get out of poverty. You offer handouts and temporary solutions. 5, you can visit a country for what it has rather than what it lacks. It is very possible to come visit developing countries for the beauty and adventure rather than coming to try and save us or do something you aren't qualified for. 6, you can support important work being done in that country without having to center yourself. If it's not about you, you will prioritize what is best for the community and organization. 7, if you didn't post it, did it happen? If you weren't able to take and post photos or videos, would you still go? If you're honest, the answer for most of you is probably no. 8, it's 2019. These short-term trips are outdated and you should know better by now. With so much access to resources and research, you are fully capable of understanding why these trips aren't beneficial for the communities you claim to be helping. That is some truth, bitch. This is why I follow them. They're fucking great. And like, if you're a white person and you read this and you're like, oh my God, I feel bullied. I'm oppressed. It's like, go fuck yourself. Sorry. Because I do think, I agree with all of this. This is what I've been saying. It's about narcissism, bro. I think it's also about like the white guilt of like, I feel so bad that I live such a great life. But it's also something that like your parents and your whatever, your teachers have like imprinted of you in school. Because I remember at least in like Swedish schools, if you didn't eat your lunch or something, or like your parents would be like, there are starving children in Africa. Eat your fucking dinner. You should feel grateful. Just because, like, they were mad you didn't eat your broccoli or something like that. I love broccoli, but, you know, so my mom never said that. But be pretty weird for the American mother who grew up in the 60s when it was, like, forced integration to say that. Like, she knows. She's woke, you know? But basically, if we're, like, talking about Renee Bock, and like the U.S. And the U.S. has a history of using missionaries to spread their influence. Like, their whole vibe was like with missionaries. It's like, because that's why they don't call themselves like imperialists or like colonialists, because they're like, what, we don't have, well, Guam is not ours, what are you talking about, the Philippines, we never owned them, that's crazy. Oh my god, like, you're Puerto Rico, don't even get me started. It's like, ugh. It's because they use missionaries to like spread their influence and spread their culture, even after like the Second World War in the late like 1940s. It was known that like the U.S. used Europe's economic hardship to assert dominance and economic dependence, with the whole Marshall Plan thing, like changing the Marshall Plan slogan to things like for European recovery and like strength for the free world from the USA. Like, of course Europe was like, you're being a kiss ass by the U.S. has a history of like creeping up on these fucking vulnerable countries, asserting dominance, and then leaving the place worse than it was when they came, you know. And like, I find this normal in other Western countries, like in patterns of them trying to assist with aid money. Like, all the incentives are wrong. It's just to assert dominance. It has nothing to do with like spreading the vibes, you know. Yeah, bro. And this connects to neocolonialism too. If you don't know what that is, it's basically, you know, colonialism, like people going to places, fucking imperializing them, being like, bye bitch, killing everyone, taking the land, making them slaves. But neocolonialism is a fresh new start of it. You know what I'm saying? It's today. It's the sneaky little, we're kind of colonializing you, but you don't know about it, but you kind of know, you know. I call this the Ugandan and Chinese love story. Also applicable to like Botswana and Zimbabwe. But basically, like, you know when Western countries like financially interfere, they're like, oh, these poor countries, like, let me give you $1 billion or whatever. But they're like, we'll only give you $1 billion if you become Westernized and Americanized and all these things. And then they're usually like, ew, what the fuck is wrong with Americans and Western people? Like, fuck off. Like, why are you trying to fuck with my shit, you know? And usually they have a problem with, you know, we've been knew that Botswana and Zimbabwe are corrupt, you know? They got some corrupt ass leaders. A lot of fun payoffs and bribes. So they're not really into Western countries trying to fuck with that shit. You know, they want to keep their bribery game. And then China is like, yo, homie, I got you. Like, I'm not about that life. Like, I support your corruption ass lifestyle. Like, your politics, I'm not gonna fuck with that. But what I am gonna do for you is build you a fucking bridge. I'm gonna build you a road, you know? And then Uganda and Botswana and Zimbabwe are like, fuck yes, sis, give me that bridge. You don't want to fuck with my shit, but you're really nice. I'm not making this up. Like, I have studied this. These are directly from my course literature and articles and direct quotes from leaders from these countries that they're like, I like China better because America tries to fuck with my shit, you know? So it's like, bro, why do you think African nations like China better? Maybe because they don't get involved in their business and don't projectile vomit their culture on them. As like a con for aid money, you know? Is China better? No. But like, more corrupt political countries like that shit. They thrive off of like a simple business savvy relationship where China doesn't have to get involved with their dirty shit, you know? And China's like, I mean, they just want assets. They just want those diamonds, that oil, you know? They just want to dump their convicts in Africa as employees so the projects cost as little as possible. They don't give a shit about democracy or human rights, you know? Point is, this is the very result of white saviorism culture and volunteering hype. Do you not understand this? Like, it's fucking crazy. And I know I have been blabbing for literally 30 minutes. But, oh my god, like, this shit, like, because No White Saviors is based in Uganda. Like, they've been knowing about this shit for years. But they started trying to get a lawsuit in, like, I want to say last year. Like, 2018 sometime. Like, late in the fall. And no one has been talking about this. And that's crazy. And the fact that, like, people are like, oh, but, like, it's like white people always have the benefit of the doubt until they're proven guilty. But imagine, like, the same thing happening. Like, and I'm not just taking this from the top of my head. Like, this is a post from No White Saviors that they made where it was like, imagine if a Ugandan 18-year-old with no education wanted to come perform surgery in like rural white people villages in like Wyoming, I think that was it, or like Indiana or something. Like, we wouldn't take that shit. We'd be like, what the fuck? Like, it was just like this whole post about what if it was the other way around? And I was like, that would never happen, because you know what I mean? I hate when white people do something wrong and then they don't be held, like, they're not held accountable. We see this with like different crimes in America, especially when it comes to like sexual assault and murder and stuff too. Not saying Sweden is like this, you know, Sweden has its own problems with the justice system, I think, in general, of just being too lenient, and then they randomly just give someone a hard life sentence for like a minimal drug crime, but then like a person who gets murdered, it's like, oh, but he's psychologically ill, we'll just give him 3 years and he's released, you know. And that's just all over the country. I think it would be stupid of me to not imply that there's a race issue, which there is. If you didn't see that, like, yeah, we have some, like, not police brutality things, but I think probably more, like, public transportation guards shit going on. Like, there was this one guard who, like, attacked a black pregnant woman or something for, like, putting her, I don't know what she did. So, like, I don't know if she refused to get off or if she put her feet on the seat. Maybe, I don't fucking know. It was something stupid. So, I just want this to be food for thought, you know? I'm never offended when I see these things. I only agree. But that can also be because I've studied this for 2 years. And it's basically everything I've studied and written in essays for 2 years. So what I literally do is study the progress and the right patterns for developing countries. In this industry, like being in this field, just as any field, you have some, you know, crooks, some criminals, some not so nice people. And I've had to meet some of them. Like, if I've had a guest lecture of some sort, or when I was at SU, like, in social anthropology, we had, like, something called Anthro Day, and people from different organizations who had studied here, the same program as me, would come and speak to us. One woman worked for Folkbildningsakademin, one person worked for UD, and UNICEF, and all these things, and it's just, like, and we would ask, like, how is it working at UNICEF? It sounds so great. That's what I want to do. And he's like, bro, like, why do you think I'm just a consultant? I don't want to put my name on that shit. Like, I don't want to be involved. Like, there's some shady people. And because he was, as I said, with my friend, like, a social anthropologist, they hired him to be a consultant. They were like, yo, we want to make this vaccine available in this place. Do you want to, like, go down and see what's good? One time he went, like, when it was a big, like, refugee crisis in Greece in specific, and he went to that border and was, like, they sent him there to, like, check out the vibe, you know. That sounds so weird. Check out the vibe with the refugees. And he was, like, yeah, there's a reason why, like, people need us, because they're dumb. I think a lot of people are afraid of studying, like, softer disciplines, because they're, like, what job would I have? And it's, like, a really important one, making sure people that only studied like economics and international relations get their shit together and like treat people with respect and make the right decisions culturally, perhaps. I have to round this up, but this was really important to me. Sorry if I just spit the facts on you, but I need people to be aware of the white savior complex, because this is fucking ridiculous. And I know this is going to get a lot of heat, and it's going to be controversial, because I am a white person talking about commodifying black bodies. But I just feel like it's not necessarily my job either to like be that person, but I do think it's important to stay aware and be aware of your privilege and be aware of contributing to the white savior complex. Because also by reinforcing this attitude on social media, like if your friend is volunteering and takes a picture with African children and they're like, they saved me right back, and then people are like, oh my god, they're so cute, you're such a great person, it's like you're contributing to that culture, you're contributing to the demand for volunteering, you know what I mean, for these short-term trips that don't do anything and where you can put $2,000 into something else, because these trips are not fucking cheap, you know. And like I've said this before, like I almost went volunteering. I was going to go to Ecuador, and also for a reason, I wasn't going to teach kids English. I was going to work human rights. And I just felt like it's fucking stupid at the end of the day. It's not like dumb, but like I'd rather put my money into like a local organization. I think that was like a position too, like a local mediator between organizations that don't have access to like social media and stuff like that. But point is, I just felt like it wasn't the right fit for me because I didn't want to contribute to this. I hope no one gets offended, because at the end of the day, you are like, I'm not saying that volunteer work is bad, but I'm just saying make sure you got those qualities, you know, make sure you have experience and that you're not taking away jobs for actual like local qualified people. Because it stunts development in developing countries. Yeah, bro. Stay woke this summer. Stay woke if you want to volunteer. I almost said crucify Renee Bach. No, don't. But, like, I really hope this goes to American court. Because she ran away. She, like, fled the country. Like, she fled Uganda to not get the civil lawsuit in Uganda. But CNN's picked this up now. Other media sources have picked this up now. So let's hope it get some attention. Thank you for coming to this intense episode and me shitting on you if you're a volunteer. Hope you got a little woker. Hope you didn't take anything I said personally or wrong. I just want to, you know, provide some information. God bless. And think about what you would do with that money instead of volunteering. Think about educating yourself to be eligible, qualified enough to do these things if you actually care about it, and not just doing it to be a good person or because you feel guilty because you're wealthy and privileged. Any comments, any feedback, would love to hear it. Send me a DM, sis.